Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
Detective David Love.
Welcome to our show.
Welcome.
And today, the part three in the series of the multidimensional self.
The one and only multidimensional self.
Absolutely. And we have today with us our special guest, Doug Newson, from the Dream Team, one of the co-founders of BBS Radio and a very spiritual, enlightened person himself.
Yeah, I think Doug's one of our favorite guests. He has so much experience. He's been on our show quite a few times, and his brother Don, very thankful to have them both operating BBS Radio and giving us the opportunity to have our show, Universal Soul Love. And actually today we're broadcasting from the Monroe Institute. In Virginia, live from the Monroe Institute. One of my favorite authors, Robert Monroe, who wrote the Journey Out of the Body Journeys Out of the Body series.
Robert Monroe has been an amazing, explorer and scientist when it comes to human consciousness. And we've been doing hemisync day in and day out, lying in our booths with our headphones on, trying to ascend our consciousness and possibly get out of the body and explore
the depths of consciousness. And it's been pretty interesting. We've had a lot of interesting experiences here already. I've had quite a few. We're meeting a lot of interesting people, and we've met up with Joseph McGonagall, who wrote the Stargate Chronicles, because we interviewed him, and Nancy McMonagall on our show in the past. She's the CEO of the Monroe Institute.
And so, Joe McGonagall is a famous, very famous
remote viewer with the Army Intelligence, the Operation Stargate. So
fascinating, absolutely fascinating what the human consciousness can do. And of course, this brings us to the whole, question of human consciousness and the self, and where does the self begin and end, and
the
boundaries?
Yeah, we're going right back to the source with this one. This is part three. So we started with Alchemist Mystique a while back, and last week we had hypnotist David Quigley talking about the aspects of the personality and past lives. And so I know that Doug and Don Newsom has had some really interesting ideas about this, so I thought it would be fantastic if we'd have Doug come on and just have a discussion around this topic. So welcome, Doug.
Ho, ho, ho. Hi.
So, Doug, tell us about your notions of the self and whether you think the self is multidimensional or not.
Or first, how about, Doug, tell us a little bit about yourself, about your experiences a little bit, so that our listeners know who you are.
I think I've figured out the secrets to the universe. No. I'm a guy who has had a lot of spiritual thought around him, an awakening period of my own that occurred before I surrounded myself with spiritual matter. I guess it kind of culminates like that. Something hits you over the head and you go, ooh. And now I postulate like you do about everything. Your brain opens up when you have awakenings. It gives you more awareness, more thought towards something else. And your brain just wants to, chemicals are released. And I think that meditation and thinking about stretching the mind in these ways is a brilliant thing. I believe how you wake the mind a lot of spiritualists today, they believe that the heart is the center of the universe, and you have all these chakras and you move through the heart. I actually believe the heart's more of an anchor. It's just an anchor. It anchors your mind to the flow of energy and blood throughout your entire body, so you can associate mind. Let's just imagine that you can now think in a physical sense about your body parts. So it connects you. It's an anchor. When you're in a meditation, you would actually think about an intention and adding emotion to it. So meditation isn't falling asleep or listening to song or or putting yourself in some quiet place in the world and thinking you're getting all the benefits because you finally found peace. Mm. It's by putting together emotion, which releases chemicals in the body, which will open up passageways. It will make you smarter, better, whatever you want. It will. You got it. If your intention is such, and that you and you can visualize it fairly well, and you can emote. And emote, I don't just mean, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. I love you. I mean, in every breath, you're becoming more I love you. Mm. I love you. How's that feel? Oh, it feels good. Oh, I love you even more. Oh, do that for an hour where you're always accelerating the connection between the emotion and the intention. That, to me, is meditation. And when you do it in a sense of loving, kind of you're receiving what you want, and the loving expression of it expands you. And you, when you flow into that with every breath, it, and you keep going higher and higher and higher, sooner or later something's going to occur, I promise. Promise. You'll either go whack, or you'll be able to, you know, get a little bit of insight. But I think that's the direction that people are starting to figure out, and that's wonderful. As for the multidimensional aspect, for me, because I imagine things. By the way, you have to almost imagine before you can feel it. It's really weird that way.
But imagination is very powerful that way.
Right, and if you want to move, let's say you want to blow on the inside of your right hemisphere of your brain. Can you tickle just your right hemisphere of your brain? Can you actually physically just tickle it? Have you ever tried? You know, it might take 6 months of meditating on it for 6 months, and then you can actually probably create wind around your right hemisphere. I kid you not, incur.
So, are you saying you have a tickly brain now?
No, I'm just saying that your intention of your mind will release chemicals which will drive perception in such a way that it'll create the reality of the event, and it will open up passageways that you can't imagine. That leads to multidimensional states of being, I believe. You know, it's kind of funny because I don't believe that, you know, this idea of reaching union is really what the bottom line, you know, when we're all coming to one or one global. I really believe it's actually touching infinity. You know, it's embracing something that's going to go further into infinity because it's something else you can collaborate with.
So are you talking about reaching enlightenment or nirvana or
yeah,
like
isn't it more of a collaboration? You know, this idea of something or nothing was created from us coming into something. Mm-hmm. But the notion that you're a collaboration with everything, and if you can think of energy along those senses, and even God and feeling and emotion. I mean, when you love God, do you really love God? You say, I love God, or do you really emote to that? Hmm. You know, do you really? Hmm. And what I mean, take it further and feel where that takes you, and let it light up your mind and your heart and your body and the warmth that you feel and expressing it, and it keeps taking you higher. Well, take that for a long time, and you know that'll change a person. It'll give him a different dynamic at the end of whatever number of years he wants to do it. Let's say he might go out in the desert and have 44 days of craziness like Jesus, let's say, or he might find that his intention was something else and he'll reach a different thing that occurs for him. Maybe he wanted to be a creative endeavor and so he works like a poet now and he just can't stop writing poetry, and damn, he's even become able to create paintings. Well, that sort of, so in that way, is that multidimensional? Maybe not. I mean, do we live on some other dimensional state? I like to believe we don't know all the states we currently exist in. We're not aware of them, but we do reside within them at all times. You're not going to blip out of one state and be in another. That's kind of, you know, people say there's four forces in the universe. There might be five. There might be six. There might be 10 forces, you know, instead of the weak, the strong, the electromagnetic, and the graviton, right? You might have some new force at work. And
it's no doubt. I think there's unlimited. People talk about dimensions, and they say there may be five dimensions or 10 dimensions. And then they say scientists have discovered even more dimensions. And I go, you know what? It's very likely that there are an infinite number of dimensions and realities.
Right.
You know? And certainly here they talk about the fact that you can learn to be on several dimensions at the same time, in the physical dimension and in the other realms.
Which you can take your awareness to a state within all dimensions that you're existing in at any one time. Yes. But I don't know if you can actually blink out of one. Let's say you don't exist in one.
Mm.
And no, in whatever else. I don't know if that's true. I'm sorry?
We heard Joe McMonagle talking about that last night. He's saying, you know, I exist in an endless number of realities at this very moment. You know, you could be living a life 100 years ago and another life on Mars and another life here and there, all at the same time.
So they're very big on the fact that time does not, in fact, exist. And so you can have all the different incarnations or reincarnations happening at the same time.
We're doing it now. We're doing it right now. Every single human being is you expressing yourself. And you don't need to think fantasy. It is. Every single human being. Every single tree, every single cell, every single atomic structure. It is. That's why. It's all because seeing that sort of affinity and being a part of everything else, you eventually will be, whether you want to be or not.
So it's interesting. It sounds like you're defining or you're removing the boundaries to the definition of self, which is, of course, what happens in the higher states. I remember once having a subtle experience, an amazing experience where I just lost my own barriers and I became one with everything. And an amazing, amazing experience of connecting with everything else. And I guess the question is, does the multidimensional self exist, or are we everything in infinity?
Well, what if I told you your energy, let's say you've created a certain force which creates a certain spin, which creates a certain vortex, which has a certain push-pull property. I mean, my mind kind of works like this. The bottom line, you're either pulling or rejecting in your body. And let's just say that all the universe has that sort of let's call it an electromagnetism, push-pull in defense of itself. That's why 99% of everything's space, but you have that push-pull. So that magnetism's pulling what little space towards other, you know, more concrete-looking substance. I can't say it's concrete because who knows? What initially creates that inertia, that spin on the ball that creates that vortex, which gives you that kind of a push or pull? That's really the question. But as for a multidimensional state, you're already creating all the push-pulls in your universe, I think, right now, and living all those. You just aren't focused on it. You don't have the ability to step out and share your momentum with some other energy. There's almost like a separate sort of an understanding of energy. You're separate energy, I'm separate energy. We see physical things, so we don't feel like our energy can combine. Your and my energy could overlap. It could actually come together in a very forceful way. Well, how do you envision that? Well, in order for me to really connect with you, I'd almost have to get to the level where I'm participating with you on that level, joining with your energy.
Hey, you're in my space.
Right? Well, that's even in meditation, you're trying to do that. Your mind might think of a million ways to do it, whether pictorially or inventively on some level. But the idea of cooperating and joining and melding with, you almost need to be able to touch it, to be able to even participate with it, I think. I don't know. I really don't. You know, I'm guessing. I can't move an object with my mind because I'm participating with the energy around the block, right?
I've been trying to move objects with my mind, pencils, since I was a little kid, and I still can't do it. The limitations of physical reality.
They have a lot of bent spoons here.
Yeah, they
don't actually just bend it with their eyes. They do hold the spoons in their hand, but after a certain amount of time, when the energy of the universe comes in, the spoons just go very hot.
Go limp.
They just one after another. Amazing number of sort of rather odd looking cutlery here.
I remember my higher self, and that's just a term. You could say expanded self or inner self, whatever word you want to use. My source once gave me a theory. It was called the separate but equal theory of consciousness, meaning we have our individual unique personalities, and we're also part of the oneness of the collective consciousness. And it's like a drop of water in the ocean of consciousness, and I know a lot of people understand this. Even in Robert Monroe's books, Journeys Out of the Body, he talks about how he met some of his alter egos in other realities. So it's really interesting. You know, Robert Monroe was famous for his journaling in the 70s, I believe it was in the 70s, where he talks about UBIs, out-of-body experiences, and astral projection, and he just goes on to document some fantastic stories about his astral travels.
I mean, he's quite disturbed by it initially. You know, he talks about a time when he saw... Suddenly, he saw the chandelier very close to his face, and then he peered down, and there was his wife with another man. And he was quite upset until he realized that that was him, and then he got even more upset.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
So,
Levels of awareness.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, coming face to face with yourself.
Yeah.
Pretty confronting.
Yeah.
So we've talked about consciousness existing on many different levels, but it's interesting, Doug, that you talked about intention, and they talk about intention a lot here. So might I suggest that if we're looking at the multidimensional self, while we could connect and fuse with other beings and other dimensions, there is something that appears to always remain true and different to the self, and that seems to be intention.
I don't know.
Intention drives the universe.
Well, energy, even energy moving in with the same wavelength, the same amplitude and wave, they're coming together to have the same intention. You could even say, you know, energy does that, so it moves kind of in balance, or else you get kind of dissonance even with energy. So you're coming together, and so your intention is one. Then you don't have any dissonance where the wave kind of breaks it up. So in meditation, you can almost force that energy around you if you can imagine starting to give off a certain frequency. And when I mean frequency, it's pushing off energy with a certain magnetism, which creates a wave kind of out there with a different sort of just pounding out there. And maybe other things that can pound that same sort of wave might, you know, you might be able to join more fundamentally with somebody like that and create higher, you know, energy participation with and really do some really wild stuff. I don't know. I've never gotten to that point. You know, if you could move an object, I think you'd want to do it in it with a group of people and see what happens. You know, maybe 10, maybe 20, all meditating on the same thing that really, you know, that would help me come to the answer that one.
Yeah, I think anything... Almost anything's possible. I think anything's possible. Who knows what's
out of body? People that it's funny. We hear about all these stories, even my story, and it sounds great because it's all written down, and nobody's really there to have experienced it themselves. So it's always a story. Mm. We've all got these stories. I see that, and they're all just a little bit different. You know, what's interesting, and they all seem somewhat fantastic on some level.
Mm.
But they're all so different, it's hard for me on some level to think that they're all, you know, correct in what the events that occurred to them and what their understanding is as they come out of it, or maybe just their basic. I don't have a big agreement with a lot of the spiritual understanding that's coming out today, because I think it goes too far, and yet it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't explain itself well enough. You know, you can't say to me that somebody's talking to you, and you're giving me all the right answers, and then tell me, oh, it's intuition, and then tell me, oh, well, I see pictures, or then tell me, don't you? You know, I can do that. Right in front of me. Okay, I see a picture. Oh, I'm envisioning a boat. Well, the boat looks like it's green. Oh, it's jumping up and out of the water. You know, if I trusted my intuition, what would that mean? You're on a rocky shore and you're about to... How much do I believe in that? I don't know. Is that another dimensional state? I don't understand it because it's never occurred to me. Like out-of-body experiences. Yes, it occurred during my Kundalini, but that never occurred to me again. And I can't reproduce it. So it's hard for me to envision that everybody had the experience I did and the way I did. But it's the only way I could liken it.
That's difficult for me being an investigator because I hear so many stories, and of course, being on the show, we have so many guests with so many different stories saying so many different things, and some of them sound so fantastic that I don't know what to think, and I don't even expect some of my stuff, I think, you know, might be hard, might be unbelievable, you know, and so I've never seen an alien. I've never seen a physical alien. I don't believe I've ever seen a gray or a spaceship. So, I mean,
just wait till the next few days.
I know, and I hear it all the time, you know, reports of UFOs, and it must be true. But I've never seen one. I've never experienced it firsthand.
Well, just think of a universe of energy that takes your energy. Imagine this. Imagine if there's, like, you know how our eyes can only see 2% of the light spectrum, let's say. But the other 98% radiation, all those things you can't see. But let's say we see, we could open up one of our, you know, something to a vision, and we see all these ghost clouds around us. And these ghost clouds are just feeding off of different, you know, experiences that they want to promote. Like they keep on, okay, you want to do this, you want to do this, you want to do this, you want. And they wouldn't feed off you if you didn't have to, you know, if you didn't, you know, have this energy. Now, some spiritualists, that's a part of their belief system. You know, so in many ways, and maybe it could be real. What's interesting is, you know, we don't know anything, really.
That's the thing. I don't believe I know anything. I mean, like you said, really.
Don't be afraid of it, you know. I probably feel that until I experience it firsthand, I'm going to always be a little bit of a doubter. I think that's natural.
Yeah, well, that would describe the way I feel about myself as a skeptical, open-minded skeptic.
Right.
How you approach it, Lana?
I know that they talk a lot about your own intention being able to manifest things, whether it's true or not. And they also, we talked about lost souls who can be lost because of their own constrictive belief system.
Right.
So, you know, we know the belief systems, well, they're not necessarily, well, they're true in that they can create your own experience, but if you stop believing in it, you can actually step out of your own experience, which is fascinating.
Isn't
we
it?
Actually just had a fantastic session where they talked about lost souls, and they have a program here,
Lifeline,
where they actually help lost souls. And there was an incredibly touching interview with someone who channeled a lost soul. The name is Patrick. You can actually find it online. There's a free free to listen to on
YouTube, I think.
The
Monroe website.
Yeah. And this man who had died back in the 1800s, and he had for many hundreds of years felt very dark and alone and trapped and very confused about where he was. And when he was able to talk through this woman to Robert Monroe, Robert suggested that this was that he didn't have to be suffering like this. All he had to do was look up towards the light. And then he gently introduced the idea that, you know, he was probably in a similar state as were his parents who had now gone. And then after a little while, Patrick said, oh, you mean I'm dead?
Yeah, this was a sort of a channeled.
Yes, yes. And then he was encouraged, he was told that he was in fact free and that he did not have to suffer any longer, that he could come into contact with those people that he loved that had passed on. And then a freedom took hold of him and off he went. Now, that was an example of a belief system which very much had produced his experiences of almost a hellish sort of very...
In the afterlife.
Sort of not being able to move on. But once that belief system had changed, then he did move on. So,
And a lot of that information was apparently substantiated and verified, you know, the names and the locations, I believe. And Doug, I just want to take this one step further, and I want to say that, you know, and channeling is difficult. It's generally very difficult to know, you know, the accuracy or the anything. It's very difficult. Mediumship. It's not science, really.
I think the brain can do it all. I think the human mind, when we reach into it, when we meditate, when we believe in beauty and love and joy and all these intentions and we start focusing on them, people will be able to do very unique things. Things that we think are, must be somebody else talking to me or God coming through me or whatever. It, you know, you have that ability to open up to the world where it can speak into you and give you that knowledge. I think things happen like that. I think there's very profound knowledge that comes from everything else outside of you if you're open to it. I can't tell you why I believe that or why we can connect to energy along those lines. I mean, but I believe that we can, and some people can do it better than others. And I think it's a skill that is developed too. You know, the more you do it, the better you get at it. So I don't try to poo-hoo too much because I know that, you know, you do something. But then also, you know, when you do something, you take for granted understandings, or maybe it becomes easier. I don't know. Maybe at some point you get to a point where you, I mean, how do you ever test yourself? I would always be doubting myself, the visions in my mind and everything else. I don't know how one wouldn't.
Well, I've taken spiritualist mediumship classes, training for many years, and I get spirit communication at times. In fact, is one I might talk about after the break. And I doubt it, but it certainly seems real to me. So I don't know. So sometimes,
right, exactly,
it's difficult.
I mean, you can often substantiate facts, like, you know,
you
Robert Munro, in his journals, he would substantiate facts later on with his friends or, you know, people that he had seen remotely.
Sure.
I mean, there are ways, but it's it just depends on how much you're willing to accept and how open-minded you are and what you're comfortable with in terms of information from an outside source and some, you know. But I think it's good if you can trust in your own ability to discern the truth and develop that, then it makes you more confident in the information that you receive from an outside source.
All right, well, we're going to take a break now after this heavy-duty ideas about
yourself. Heavy-duty ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. All right, so let's take a short break and then get back into it.
Let's do that. Let's come on with John Lennon. Imagine. Here we go.
Imagine.
And today we're in the third of our series of the multidimensional self. A big, huge topic.
Which is why we're in part three now, and we have, and it just gets, it's a
heavier and heavier.
It's a heavy topic, heavy.
And here to chew through it with us is Doug Newson from BBS Radio. Hi, Doug.
Doug.
Hi.
Hi. So, I just wanted to open up with the idea that when we talk about the mind and the brain here in the Munro Institute, where we're spending 7 days trying to
exploring the depths
our
of consciousness.
they make a point that our brain and our mind is not the same as our consciousness, and
but you need intention.
Intention
comes from your mind.
Yes,
but okay. Some people make a distinction between the mind and consciousness. Some people will actually say that consciousness does not reside in the brain; that the brain is merely an antenna. Which I think is a fantastic idea, and I've played around with this idea myself. And if you go out just stand in a field surrounded by the sky, you can feel very small, and then you can actually play with that and actually make yourself much bigger if you understand that your consciousness does not reside in the brain, that the brain is an antenna that picks it up.
But you're
not great.
We're talking about three different things, though, too.
No, that's exactly what I meditated on. So interesting you say that. Yes,
really?
I thought of my brain as little filaments flying into the air and being sparked by energy coming into it and moving in through my body. And yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You seem to have had a connection there.
That's a good point of view. Because you do got to open up to that energy and have what you perceive as a connection to it. And then it's moving into you. And where would my connection point was on in my head? Now maybe you can pull that energy into your heart. I don't know. I don't think in along those lines.
Well, of course, they are focusing on the heart more and more with the heart math, which we interviewed last week. They talk about the energy of the heart being, in fact, larger than the energy created by the brain. In fact, a lot of the heart will direct what happens in the brain. So I'm glad you mentioned the heart.
No, I don't normally.
You'll
talk
avoid
about
the heart. You won't even know it. When you get in a higher state of meditation, your body and your heart don't even matter anymore. Nothing really does except your consciousness.
Right.
Well, I don't think I've ascended to heights like that yet. But
yeah, your body, you won't feel your body. You won't be aware of it. It won't even exist for you. And if you leave it, I swear it, any level of higher, that just becomes, you don't feel a damn thing, not a tingle, not a sensation, not wind. You're more consciousness than anything else. So, for me, the heart's just an anchor point. If you want to meditate on, let's say, your body, healing your body, you want to know what's wrong with your body so you feel energy flow through it. You want to anchor your body physically so you feel flow of blood as it anchors the energy of, let's say, the earth, because that feeling allows that energy and your mind to participate throughout your body. So you're directing energy throughout your body because of that anchor, which is a good thing. It's a very necessary thing. But I still think it's an awareness principle that comes mainly from the brain. And I think the brain feeds, like most things, like your DNA kind of feeds on photonic light, the initial inertia, which creates a spin of the atomic particles, which creates the pull-pull, push-pull force kind of in a weird way. But it takes in energy. It eats energy. It moves. It structures itself based on energy flows, It's all in this world. It's not some other thing that's it's occurring right now. Your genetics are changing probably as we speak. Well, folks, we're going to bring David and Dr. Love back right now. We've got a bit of a connection issue. And until we get our two hosts back, you know what we are going to do? We're going to play another song. We're going to call it Dancing in the Moonlight with King Harvest. Here we go.
Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. We're back now. We got temporarily short-circuited from the heavy ideas here.
We're back online. I don't know what happened. We had a little disconnect. But Doug, you were just talking about, we were talking about mind, brain, and consciousness. And I was thinking, those are three different things, because we talk about the mind residing in the brain, and then we're talking about consciousness. And I just think of the mind as being a manager for consciousness. I think of consciousness more as the self, but also, and I don't usually talk about my books too much, I suppose I should, but...
You're right, it's a hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's holding energy. Basically, your mind is somehow holding energy and the information and it's keeping it there in kind of like a controlled area. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. And of course, sometimes if we want to go higher, we have to learn to let go of that control. And I know consciousness is something you've discussed a lot in the book.
Yeah, well, that's
David.
What I was getting to was the illusion of the body. My first book, I called it the Body Alive Principle, and it was based on a philosophy called panpsychism, which is that all things have consciousness, even in what's it?
Inanimate objects.
Yeah, my tongue's a little tied here. But non-living things that we believe are non-living also hold consciousness. Even atoms, planets, all hold consciousness. And so the body itself, we had HeartMath on last week saying that the heart has consciousness and the heart has intelligence. And my theory is that the entire body, all organs, systems, and cells, cellular memory, they all hold the same qualities that our personality does.
That's a good point. In a sense.
And certainly they found something that might substantiate that. They found that people that have had heart transplants or other organ transplants will sometimes take on certain characteristics or like certain foods all of a sudden that the person whose organ was donated had. And that's amazing to think about that.
Why is it that we call an investigator's intuition a gut instinct? Is it because our gut has its own consciousness and its own intuition and its own thoughts and feelings? I don't know.
Why would we meditate on the heart when if we meditate on the mind or with the energy in that structure, we're now able to manipulate the body? It's the thing that releases all the chemical. It's got the third eye. It's got the three parts of the brain. You know, you've got everything, all the kind of like the chip that's built so it can store and retain information. Everything's there. Why would we start focusing all that, you know, and receiving, being all these antennas, because you got to think your brain has more antennas than anything else possible. You know, that's where you want. For me, it seems natural to focus the energy in that way. Even through your eyes. If you can keep your eyes open in meditation and start playing with energy in the room, that's interesting.
It is. I sometimes see the energy in the room with my eyes. They
Do
look like atoms to me.
Right.
Sparkly. A lot of people see that. I don't know what that really is.
Start to just stare for a couple hours and imagine that energy taking on a different hue. First, you go start basic little hue. Maybe the way you do that is to create different light structures in the room, very small, slivering lights.
Right.
And then it becomes like shadow, like fog, like clouds.
Right.
And then different colors, and that can move and play. And the more you imagine it, the more it's almost like it will be there for you, which is crazy enough. You're almost training your brain to be Sybil, I guess. I don't know.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. In fact, I wrote about that in my last book, which I may as well throw out there since I never talk about my books. The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories, if anyone's interested. I talk exactly what you're talking about playing with the energy in the room with your eyes. And your daughter does that, actually.
She does. Yeah, she can actually see the energy in the room.
And she got all excited when I started saying, yeah, I know about that, too. In fact, a lot of people talk about that, just like Doug is right now. There's nothing new under the sun.
Use it. And when they can do that and they feel a real closeness and a connection to that energy, it's almost like their brain will start to tickle or it'll feel hotter or it'll feel like things are coming in. And they almost can create more of a link to things like that. I almost feel all of these things are possible. And I'm always, you know, in today's society, the ability to wake up all this crap, codons, they say, that are crap in us. Yeah, there's like, what do they say? We use just a few of them out of like a lot of them. Well,
junk DNA.
Yeah, our DNA. Well, you know, a lot of junk DNA.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just stuff ready to be awoken. Like, yeah.
That's what they're saying. They're saying that, that the energy is increasing on the planet and the people. They're saying that we're all, hopefully a lot of us are heading towards being more ascended. And they're saying that this so-called junk DNA that they never knew what it did, that's starting to wake up. And even some people apparently are getting new strands
of
DNA.
You have people that are born today that can't get sick, can't get a virus, couldn't give it. You could shoot them with cancer and they won't get cancer. Okay, what's up with that? You have got people today with an extra iris or eye, whatever they call it, where they can see so much more color in the color spectrum, like 20% more than we can because they have this new development. And that's just, you know, you're seeing people that with some people, they actually have internal magnetism where you can actually put a meter on them and they have magnetized their body for whatever. But yeah, they have energy like that. So things are happening.
Yeah,
so
things are happening.
Right? It's exciting as hell.
I know the idea that's coming up now is that we always had these abilities, but some ways there was something that was constricting us from being able to do all these
more
things.
People. You have more people, so it seems more obvious. When you add a million people on the planet, there'd probably be a hand few. Like photographic memories. Can we go out and find a lot of people with photographic memories today? Probably. Mm-hmm. Right? They're tough to find, but we could find a dozen, ride free, really. But could you do that 100 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So all of these talents, they're coming out because of the diversity, the fact there's so many births and there's so many people. There's pluses
even
and minuses.
Even for us individually, though, I think that we can all grow much more than we used to grow before. There's something about the nascent energy around the planet that's allowing us to break free of our previous constrictions.
When your genetics are affected by the guy sitting next to you, whether you want to believe it or not, you're flowing energy between each other. Your genetics are changing as a result in every moment of your environment.
It's an interesting way of looking at it.
It's true. We influence mm-hmm. each other. We mm-hmm. clearly influence each other, but our energy and our influence on another person affects their
even
body.
If you just tag them a plant would tag you and you could move it across the universe and it would still feel your presence. You know what I mean? There's that sort of energy, and something had to be done, I think, at that level, almost at that DNA structural level to retain that information on some way. So, yeah, if we can reach down and we can start participating, we can make our minds think about that once we start to understand it more. Like right now, what is DNA? Well, is it like a candle where you have a flame on it, or is it flame once in a while? And what's it doing? Is it, you know, and the more we kind of envision it, the more I think our minds can mentally play with it and what that would mean to a meditative structure, an enhancement of your awareness, and all these things are going to come, you know, as we become more aware on one aspect. I think it helps us become more aware on another. I don't think, you know, spiritualism has all the answers, and I don't think science has all the answers. I love the marrying of the two.
Yeah, it's mind, body, and spirit. It's I like that too. And of course, we're all, I think that's the way most of us think.
Well, we are. We have many different dimensions, and what we are is a combination of all of those. And something I wanted to add in, which is quite very, I guess, for me, very exciting to think about, is the totality of our self. We talk about the multidimensional self. But today what was mentioned was that it may well be that the white light that a lot of people see is not necessarily God, but it's the totality of ourself. They talked about Robert Munro in one near-death experience seeing the white light, sure, which he assumed was God. Then in his second and third experience, he was apparently not permitted to go there. He was only able to go to the almost edges of God.
Oh, that was Joe McConnell.
Oh, it was Joe, was it? Right. Okay. And then what the conclusion he came to was that the white light that a lot of people see is not God, that God is way beyond the ability of anyone to see.
I would agree with that. I think infinity, yeah.
The white light is actually the totality of ourself. Now, that's amazing.
That's very interesting.
We have that infinite self in our...
We're the bubble. We're this bubble in the brain, in the bram, in the bran. Yeah.
Lana and I were, it's interesting. Lana and I were debating a little bit about or trying to come to some conclusion on what the self is. And we often have this discussion, what is the self? Because we talk about true self or authentic self, and then there's non-self and there or no self.
And of course, in Buddhist tradition, non-self is the self is an illusion anyway. So,
and I think of self as, there's consciousness, and to me, consciousness is just awareness. And then the self is the collection of what consciousness uses as tools to explore realities, like intelligence, emotions, memory, any of those things even intuition and things are created by consciousness to be part of the self to experience reality. That's what I believe, and I don't know. I certainly don't know that that's true, but...
So maybe we should change our topic from multidimensional self to the multidimensional world and just forget about the self.
I don't know.
fascinating concepts, though. Really fascinating. And I think that when you explore these, these experiences, the more you explore, I think the greater you grow and the more you lose of yourself, but the more you gain of the world. So paradoxically, the more you gain of yourself, if that makes any sense.
It does. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess we've got to wrap up now.
Yeah, we're getting more heavy territory here, so we'll just let it all go.
But wish us luck at the Munro Institute. I had almost an out-of-body experience, so I'm going to continue to work on it.
Keep going.
You might find me tapping on your shoulder tomorrow morning.
Keep going. If I managed
to get out of my body.
imagine that you're on an electrical blanket, just made up electricity, and your skin's kind of on top of it, and feel that energy kind of bounce you, and then maybe move. Energy can always, and then if you can imagine that energy kind of like in the top, in your neck, back of your head, then you kind of, maybe you just imagine it moving out of your head into space, and you just keep pushing that momentum.
Wow.
Just keep feeling that for, I mean, it take months, I guess, or you can take a vibration, vibrate. If you feel like you're vibrating, you know, a lot, then you can get into the sensitivity of it, and then the sensitivity of it gets so fine and so brilliant that you go beyond the sensitivity of it, and then you don't feel anything anymore. There's a number of ways. I wish I knew them all.
That sounds wonderful. Wow. Thank you, Doug. Yeah. I'll certainly try that, our listeners might want to play with that as well.
Yeah.
Well, we'll let you know how it goes. Next week we'll be in Mount Shasta with David Quigley for a spiritual retreat, so we're looking forward to that as well. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Doug. It was a really interesting discussion. It was very complex and intriguing, and as always, you're a fantastic guest.
I really enjoy interviews with you.
Yeah,
I love you
so much
both.
To your brother. Yeah, thank you. And thanks so much to Don for helping produce the show today in the behind the scenes, your brother.
All right. So good night or good morning from your ascended masters, Dr. Lana Love.
Or descended, depending on which way we're going.
From Universal Soul Love. Bye for now.
Bye for now.